David, whether you have a few weeks old puppy or a senior who's seen multiple decades, any dog person like me knows the most valuable thing in the world is spending time with your pet.
Yep.
The farmer's dog makes it easy to keep them healthy, which can give you more quality years with your lovely dog.
Yeah, well, I've heard Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. And, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced. It's made from human-grade ingredients, safe, clean kitchens. All that stuff matters.
Yeah. I mean, you love your dog. Why get the lousy food for your dog? Farmer's Dog is the best. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed.
Sometimes
they use
dogs...
much lower quality. Yeah.
you put it in their bowl and they go, what is this kibble? And they knock it away. What is this canned goo?
Oh, yeah. I've had our dog, yeah, look at the bowl and then kind of crank its neck up and look at me. And it was like, really?
They go, really? Why don't you go first? You want a bite of this? Slop?
And it makes that sound.
Here you go, dog.
So Farmer's Dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. It makes it easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, David, and which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, David, from healthier coat and skin, better breath, if you want to kiss your dog, and even easier digestion and smaller and better poops.
Let's look at a clip. It doesn't matter if your dog's young or old, it's always the right time to invest in their health for more happy years with your dog. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/fly.
Let the Farmer's Dog know we sent you. Use your code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box.
All right, before I tell you about Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, what do you got?
Before I tell you about Jeff Goldblum, I was just on the road doing this tour and playing these gigs. And the new thing that's going on is that because Corona is not gone, but slowing down, these people that wait in the airport to have you sign stuff.
Right.
And I sound like an ingrate, but I do love fans. I know you do. And it's fun when people
count
come
up. Count me as a fan.
But when they are just have like these Funko Pops and these posters and things, but they get in the airports when you're on the road. So they you get out of your gate and there's 10 people walking with you. And I do one each because I get a little weirded out because they're very aggressive. They're not fans.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with that. They're just guys that go, sign. And then I go, I'll do one each. And then they don't accept that. They walk you all the way to luggage. I lost a piece of luggage because I was too distracted because they wouldn't leave you alone. And then they walk you to your car. And then they drive to the hotel and wait for you. Anyway, so this sounds like I don't like fans. They're not. They just go, sign this. Use my pen, this. Corona, Corona, Corona everywhere. And then they have like a kid with them to go, well, sign one for her. She's your biggest fan. I go, what movie do you like? And she goes, who the fuck are you? I mean, they don't know. You know, they're just like a kid they grab and say, make him sign this and
I've been in this 40 years and people come up to me and go, my kids really love you. And they're like seven. I'm like, what? I mean, what have I done lately?
And they go, he's good. They point over there to the, you know, luggage handler. So they didn't know. And then these guys were off. And I lost a piece of luggage because of that. And then something else happened that was really bad. But other than
I know
that,
what it's like
that's the road,
I know
dude.
What it's like to be David Spade, because when we were doing the gig at the Wiltern with our friend Adam Sandler, I was being driven in a black SUV, and I was like, David! Spade! You know, so what I did, I put the window down just a little bit, and I flipped him the bird. And goes, Spade!
And then when they see me, they go, David, where's Adam? He's coming. Adam did the show. He's coming up.
How about who?
And Jeff Goldblum, by the way, was
Goldblum,
great.
Jeff Goldblum, let's just say...
cool dude.
There's very few modern actors. Like in the olden times, you'd have very quirky voices, me being an impressionist. Jeff Goldblum has a, like Nicolas Cage or Christopher Walken, he's got a very unique, eccentric...
bordering on quirky.
Yeah,
quirky. But even when we're talking to him, he's listening with his hands.
You are... fascinating to me. I'm finding out that and he would put his hands near his mouth and kind of move his fingers around.
Like
I thought he was trying to interrupt us. Like, do you want to say something, Jeff? And he goes, no, you're fascinating. I just want to listen to you. And he would just move his fingers around his face. Remember that?
He hosted twice. He was doing this interview, by the way, from the Jurassic
Press
Park
junket
set.
For Jurassic Dominion World or something?
As we call it, Jurassic 15.
Jurassic Park. This time, the dinosaurs are big. I thought that was a great title.
This time, they'll scare the shit out of you.
I knew a guy who used to do a bit about the T-Rex couldn't masturbate. You know, the dinosaur with little tiny arms. And I was like,
give me that wiener.
That was his closer. That the this yuck, time, this the time, yuck.
That dinosaurs talk. We're going to get you.
This
they have
time,
to go somewhere with it.
This time, there's no dinosaurs.
It's just land sharks.
No,
yeah,
just,
they have to keep upping the ante, and it's like they're smarter than us this time.
Yeah, they have intelligence. Well, I'm afraid I have something to tell you about the dinosaurs.
They get on the elevator. And the elevator operator's a shark. All right. Yeah,
the dinosaurs can talk, and they're poets.
Anyway,
the
movie's better
than
that. We saw the movie, and Goldblum is a stud. He did a sketch with me called Carl with a K, where I worked at a video store, and we relive that.
Movie's great. I mean, that's the kind of movie you want to see in the big screen.
Independence Day, and he was in Jurassic Park. These are huge mega movies.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him if he's ever met Will Smith. Did he meet him on the set?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did he ever have an impulse to slap Will Smith?
Yeah. Who punched who? I think Jeff Goldblum is 6'12". He's a very tall guy, and which is all that matters in life. I mean, look at Instagram. I'm mad about it.
He's just a great actor, and he'll delve into that on our podcast.
Yeah.
Just about his technique and just that he wishes he could do everything over again. I thought he was very humble, wants to hang out with us.
Yeah, he wants to hang out. And we will. And we'll stop talking so we can talk over Jeff Goldblum. Here we go. Goldblum.
Yeah. And by the way, just so you all know, he was doing a press junket.
Oh, yeah. It's not a full hour.
And so it was a little bit, we're a little hyperactive. Yeah. Sorry, we're new to this and we're narcissists.
We're not even new anymore. We're just still bad at it.
We've done 200 episodes. We're still learning. No, but it was, the sound was a little iffy on that. And there was a sense that, I was so excited just to talk to Jeff Goldblum. Mm-hmm. Just got a little hyperbolic. And, he'll mention his favorite movies, and you'll hear that list. It's pretty exciting.
It is a long list.
It is a long list. Jeff Goldblum's done a lot of sort of a quirky actor,
right,
tall man.
Jeff Goldblum, take it or leave it.
Yes, I've been in the same house for about 37 years.
Can you see the LA Design Center from your house?
Yes, we can see, the red and blue and green buildings. We can see
okay.
part of Chateau Marmont. We can see that new little lot that they just knocked down the bank there at Crescent Heights and Sunset, mm-hmm. and those mini operations, and now waiting for something to be built there.
I'm getting an idea. Jeff, we're in the same neighborhood.
Can I jump in with a question about the El Pollo Loco there?
Yes,
it's gone.
It's gone.
I've eaten there maybe 2,000 times, and the McDonald's maybe 5,000, and they're
really?
Both gone.
All the time,
really
now,
shook me.
I've been there about 37 years. I'd never eaten at that McDonald's, and I'd never eaten at that El Pollo Loco. There's now Pinchas Tacos down the block, but I haven't tried them yet.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that other place? Taco, Pink Taco.
Pink Taco.
Pink Taco. Mm-hmm. That used to be. Do you remember when Pink Taco used to be?
Pink.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that, the Saturday Night Live? Wasn't that the place where...
Roxbury?
Yes, that was Roxbury.
Oh.
And before that, it was Imperial Gardens, which was a location used for one scene in Modern Romance with Albert Brooks.
God damn.
Great movie.
And Catherine Harold.
Well, Jeff, you look like a model, and that's because you don't eat where I do.
I want to meet your dermatologist.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you very much. I'm falling apart. You guys look fantastic.
Thank you. And I really agree. Listen, I went.
You guys are in two separate locations. Now, David, where are you? Where are you?
Just a random undisclosed mansion in behind like Mel's Diner area.
Really?
Yeah. He's 0.09 from me in miles.
Yeah.
09. Hey, do you guys remember, because I love our whole neighborhood, do you remember the Source restaurant, which is now that cantina, which I notice is closed all the time? I don't know what's going to happen with that. And did you ever see that documentary about the source cult family that was going on all that time while I was eating there?
I remember that.
I heard about it. Dana knows every documentary. Did you see it?
I love documentaries about cults and cult leaders. I'm sure saw that one.
I do too. Did you see Wild Country?
Loved it. I'm fascinated by people joining cults.
Me too. Mm-hmm. What's that thing now on, I see on HBO Max, you see some posters around town. It's, what's it called, where it's an organization and they, and it's about losing weight, where it's a religious thing and they're losing a lot of weight. There's a person with a big hair who leads it. And it turns out during the episode that I saw a chunk of, they're spanking kids and they like the idea of spanking kids. Have you seen that?
I haven't, but I've got it on my watch list. I haven't seen that.
It sounds like most of them. Like the one where they the guy went and met with the Dalai Lama. Remember that guy? And he had he has a remember that one? They have all the girls come out and then he's like a smooth talker, and then at some point it turns into, guys, I do have to have sex with everybody. It's like, it's so typical, and they should go, okay, it's bad enough you took all my money, but it always goes to sex, you have to go through me.
The trick is to be so human, like they fart, they eat chocolate, they drive Rolls Royces, and so they go, he's so real, it's almost like a double trick, like, of course he's not of this world. I don't know. Hey, Jeff, have you ever had cult people follow? Go ahead. I see Jeff pointing. What do you want to say about this?
Oh, no. I'm just listening to
tell him more.
To everything that you're saying. And I was thinking, you guys must love that movie, The Master, which I like a lot. I like P.T. Anderson very much.
Love everything he does. Saw that movie 3 times. Obsessed by it. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. I am too.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. And There Will Be Blood. And I like Inherent Vice. And I like Phantom Thread. And of course, Boogie Nights and Punch Drunk Love. And I like Licorice Pizza very, very much.
Can I ask you about Phantom Thread?
Yes, sir.
Because you're married. I'm married. David might get
married. Knows
married
people.
What do you think the overarching theme of Phantom Thread was? Because that was... Daniel Day-Lewis said, what have we wrought? I mean, he told PTA, like, I can't believe we just made this movie. And the theme of it, about the male-female dynamic.
I wonder, you know, I saw it when it came out. To have this in-depth discussion, I'd want to see it again and study it, because I think it's very deep. What I noticed about that movie, the impression that I got was that, in contrast to some movies that sometimes... I'm suspicious of it. It talked about a relationship. It depicted a relationship that was in some ways a tip of the iceberg, had tip of the iceberg elements that were alluded to, depicted, but that had roots and backstories and underpinnings psychologically that were thoroughly investigated, I thought. I didn't know what they were, but it was for us to figure out, whereas some movies go, hey, we're vague, here we'll allude to something, but we don't actually know what's going on. That was my impression, that he is very, very brilliant and entirely thorough.
And it seemed like in the male-female dynamic, there is kind of like, you sort of want your spouse to kill you in a way, and you want to kill them. And that's part of the romance of it or something. Because he wanted to be poisoned by his wife. He clearly enjoyed, and she liked him being helpless. It's very interesting.
Well, did you remember Boxing Helena?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that has nothing to do with this. But I've heard him talk about, because I
just
like all things about behind the scenes and directors talking. He said that he and Maya Rudolph.
Yes. His wife.
Were at home during one cycle where he got the flu or something.
Yeah.
And he thought she was in her attention to him, particularly caring. And
yes.
I think that it triggered this story, he said, as I remember, whereby, hey, I like this idea of being,
docile and weak and
yes, and vulnerable, vulnerable.
Yeah.
It brings out something is going on. I love that actress. Daniel Day-Lewis was great in that, but I love that actress who was in it.
Yeah.
We could talk about that forever or a million things. I'm so happy to see you guys. I really am excited to talk to you.
And now for a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture. You know the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that may not be for you, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. How? Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends all before you head out the door. Your money's a workaholic, but you don't have to be because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Let's get back to the happy to see us part because, yeah. Jeff, first of all, Jeff, you sound like you have such a cool voice. You sound like an impression because people do it and you have such a good voice. I like that. And you're 6'4". You don't have to do anything. I don't even know why you got into acting. You already won.
So women love Jeff.
Women are into tall guys and now I hate it because they always secretly were. And now it's on Instagram. Like, we need tall guys and they rule the world. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Like, I got enough going against me. I can't help. Anyway, that's not Jeff's fault.
Jeff's fault.
No, not 100%. But Jeff, I met you on SNL. I think that's where I met you. I forgot about this sketch we did a long time ago and I looked it up.
You forgot what a long time ago?
You were on a show called SNL and I was a writer performer.
That's Saturday Night Live. I've seen several of those. And I remember when you and I did a spectacular thing where you were the clerk at a video store and you said, yes, I guess whose number I have. I'm not going to do anything with it, but
I am a fan. Yes, I am a fan.
Very brilliant.
I watched that this morning, and while we're on the topic of SNL, we have a few questions for you, and we're going to bore the fucking shit out of you, but sit with us. Did that, you were, I looked at it again today, and I don't love watching myself. It was kind of fun watching you in it because I was so nervous just to be on SNL, and then I've got a star in it, and I was newer, and I'm trying to like not be on the cue cards, which is very dangerous to try to memorize at SNL, it changes so much. But I was the writer, so I knew what I changed. And you came in and you've got such a casual, relaxed acting style, which is in all your stuff. You're great at it. And I really appreciated it more in that because you play things so real, it almost calmed me down and not be such a fucking goofy. I was trying not to be too charactery, but it is SNL and I didn't really know that much about acting. So I just thought you maybe should have beaten me up during the sketch because I was getting a little broad.
No, not as I remember it. You've always been a spectacular actor. I loved doing that.
Thank you, Jeff.
You know, I don't know if you call it nervousness, but I was on alert doing that show, and I wish I could do it now. I'll bet I would see that and think I could do it better now because I keep getting a little more something or other. But yeah. I try to improve.
Can I ask you? I want to ask you a question, Jeff. That I noticed from the first Jurassic Park. And
yes, sir.
You and I was coming out of doing a acting class one-on-one with Roy London, and I met you, and you invited me to jam with you, which was very cool, and I was so happy to meet you. But I remember in Jurassic Park, and I looked it up to make sure, it's like, I didn't know if they wrote your part as Elvis, but you're on the helicopter, and I go, oh, he's doing Elvis. I thought that's very Roy London, is to do Elvis, but pull it back. And then at one point, you just started kind of roaring like a dinosaur. I don't know if everyone noticed it, but you're like, wow. And I thought, is that, you know, Meisner? Is it London? Is it Jeff Goldblum? Or did I recognize that you were doing something that made it so charismatic and so specific? Which is maybe part of your brilliance, but do you remember that?
I'm not brilliant at all. You're so sweet. I don't remember that I was doing anything like what I thought of consciously as a roar or anything. Yeah. I've seen that scene, and I know, you know, I laughed in some kind of gurgly way or something. But now that you mention it, I think I was coaching with Roy London back then. Geez, what a wonderful guy he was.
Yeah, brilliant.
And, And he had some always subversive, unexpected, you know, uncliche ideas, mm-hmm. you know, to offer. And, you know, but I loved Steven Spielberg on that. I remember feeling, you know, alive and excited and full of creative juice of one kind or another.
I went to one Roy London class, and then I was with Ivana, his protege. You know, she started taking people when Roy was too full. So I knew that world a little bit. And I do think it helped me. I think it helped me a lot. And when I saw someone like you in something like Jurassic Park, it gives hope to someone that's just a comedian that wants to go in that world. Is like, you can be in this big movie that's not a comedy, but having someone come in there and lightly weave in some comedic moments is so important. And you do it so effortlessly. Some probably written, some aren't. And the more they let you do it, the more confidence you get, probably, because I'd be scared around Spielberg. But if he's letting you do that stuff, it really puts layers in that movie that's so good. One more reason it's a great movie.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I you guys are talking my language. When we're not, I don't want to bore anybody. And if we, you and I should just, we should all have dinner at Musso and Frank's or something. And I'd like to talk to you guys for, you know, because I'm just a humble student of it. And I'd love to talk about your ideas, about what you're just talking about. You guys are brilliant, and how you navigate all situations like that, which I'm still trying to do. You know, we made another mm-hmm. one of these, and I love to talk about all
Jurassic
that stuff.
Park World Dominion, June 10th.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
I saw it yesterday and the day before.
You're kidding. What do you mean? Yeah, Wait a minute. You saw our latest movie on 2 days?
He was able to get it.
The first day, I tried to download it. And the second day, that was 3 hours. And then the second day, I watched it. And I thought it was very interesting. Now, it's so good. I don't even think the dinosaurs are fake. I just think they're part of it. Because it used to be like, that looks real. That looks real. Now I'm like, so he's in a scene of the dinosaur. But everyone's so smooth at it. It can't be just tennis balls on a stick anymore. It's like everyone's looking the right way and acting and back and forth. And I really want, and the dinosaurs act a little better this time because they're very good, you know. And I thought it was a really interesting, great movie that people are going to love because it has all the stuff you want from those movies. And it's got to be hard to keep doing it and keep it great. A lot of great chase scenes where they just don't end. You're like, holy shit, what's going on here? But it's all so real and it looks like so hard to do.
The boys are back in town, if you know the reference. It's Sam O'Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum together again. You know.
Sam Neill and Laura Dern. Yes. Well, it's so great to hear you say that, David. And thank you. I hope people like it. But Colin Trevorrow wrote a script with Emily Carmichael that's smart. He's a terrific director. And he's been thinking about this for a long time. And to take all those characters and to make it into something logical and satisfying and isn't an easy task. And I think he did a great job.
You got to be ahead of everyone because everyone's seen this, you know, you guys have done them before, and then you've got all these people that probably it's harder to keep everyone happy and make sure everyone knows the movie's one step ahead of everyone when you watch it, and just so complicated, that whole thing. And I've done movies of mine are a little, not simpler, but, you know, we're worried about different things, and I just watch your night shoots and your craziness, and I'm just like, there's so much going on, there's so much fear, and what's going on here and there, but did a great job. Everything looks real. It's great.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm proud of it. They did nicely. And Colin had this idea where the dinosaurs were not going to be CGI mostly. They were going to be made animatronically. And John Nolan had a creature shop. And so they were there.
Oh, okay.
And they're doing better than ever. The dinosaurs are bigger and more fantastic than ever. And yeah, he did good.
I saw Alf in there. Maybe I'm wrong. Was Alf? No, it wasn't.
You're mixing this up with another movie.
Maybe I didn't see it. Yeah,
that's okay, the Will Ferrell. When you get the script, Jeff, do you feel like they're writing for your character and also the Jeff Goldblum rhythm, or do you kind of bring yourself to it because you do have very off kilter, syncopated, and of course,
and they try to guess that.
Well, I became a gigantic fan. I believe a gigantic fan, my wife and I, from The Big Chill, because we saw it so many times. We actually went to the Cineplex. We're trying to see another movie, and we heard The Big Chill was starting. We'd already seen it 3 times. Then we went over and watched it again, and we watched it 4 months ago. So that was the one where that whole cast was amazing. And that's where I really noticed your genius, or whatever you want to call anyone who can be in a film and be that natural and so fascinating. Your vocal rhythms, because that's kind of what I'm into, are so interesting. Anyway, I'll let you speak. I fanned out a little bit.
No, geez, I adore you guys. Thanks. You're encouraging me and making me feel good about all of this.
All sincere. Do you know how great you are? What about The Fly?
Well, I don't know
about
that.
Don't get me started with The Fly. Don't let me get started. I don't even want to start with The Fly.
Yeah, you're not allowed. It's too much.
That tore me apart. That was one of the most beautiful, sad, brilliant science fiction films ever made. I'll let you talk.
I get emotional seeing that too. David Cronenberg is a heck of a director. He's an amazing guy, and we worked hard on that in Toronto. Wait a minute, who's from, you know, Toronto?
Well, Mike Myers, my brother from another mother, is the ultimate Canadian. He was my partner in Wayne's World, Mike Myers. But I'm from,
you know, a lot of people
from
think
Montana.
Dana and I are from Canada. A lot of people think I'm from Canada. A lot of SNL people are from Canada.
Yeah. Right, but not you guys.
I'm from Missoula, Montana, which is pretty close to Canada.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I hope that we spend much time together. I have much to ask you guys.
Yeah.
I have much to learn, Mambo King. Do you remember that movie where who says, what's the actor who says, you have much to learn, Mambo King?
That's a good trivia.
I think it was called The Mambo King. But who is that?
Maybe. Yeah.
Starring Billy King. Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, do you remember?
Billy Jean King, I think, was in that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when you, the first time you hosted SNL, do you know what it was for? It's usually for a movie coming out, right?
I think the first one was for Jurassic
JP
Park, I think, wasn't
93,
it?
93? Yeah.
Was it 93? Mm-hmm. And that's when the monologue had, I think, didn't Laura Dern, wasn't she there? And she said,
oh, did she come do something?
Yes.
I think she might have come done something and said, oh, were those dinosaurs real? And da-da-da-da, or people keep asking me, were the dinosaurs real? I should have done my research and seen both of those again. Mm-hmm. But I had a great time. And Aerosmith was the musical guest one time.
Yeah.
And In Vogue, right?
Yeah.
Free Your Mind on the Rest
free
of
Your Mind.
Yeah. They were the other ones. Gee, I had a good time doing those.
You know, you had a sketch that I saw today. I just watched a couple. And you had a pretty all-star cast. It was Canteen Boy.
it was
so ridiculous. And you were kind of mean in it, which is very not you. I realized you're never really mean in movies, I don't think. And this is sort of a different... I mean, it's only a sketch, but you had hilarious Sandler being ridiculous Canteen Boy. Farley was in it.
Yeah.
You had Phil Hartman, Kevin Nealon, Tim Meadows. That was a great one with everybody.
What a cast. Hey, I want to see that again. Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? And then how about that one I did with Molly Shannon where she's, you know, the Catholic girl.
We sang.
Oh, I think she sang. Superstar.
You sang a song.
You know, last chance for love. Yeah, we sang that.
Wow, that is right up my alley of my years because I think Dana just took
I had
off
just and, left. I must have just missed you, Jeff. I left in March or April of 93, sorry, I think. Yeah. And you were there later, maybe in the fall. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go over in detail. I want to remember all my experiences and question you about every experience you had. I'm kind of fascinated with SNL, really. And I see a lot of interviews with people and listen to podcasts and people talking about it. I can't get enough of that. I love it.
It's a seminal experience for the host or the athlete or the movie star or whatever, going into live television with no prep. And for us who are unknown people, David and I, getting our break on a show with that much pressure, it never totally leaves you. It's a touchstone for all of us. That's why this podcast has been so interesting. And for you, you know, what must have been experientially, how did you, it's like really intense hosting that show. It's wild. Yeah. They're picked and pulled. And I mean, what was that like for you? The quick changes and just.
It was something. I took it seriously as a, you know, and it was you know, unnerving and exciting in a lot of ways. And I tried to, you know, just to do the assignment as well as I could and work hard that week, you know, in however I could do it and trying to figure out how to do it. And as I remember, you know, I felt like it had gone okay, but I'll bet if I saw it now, like a lot of things from that period and even until recently, I think I could do much better now. I don't know, something is broken with me recently, broken free and broken, I feel like, into some new territory where I'm a little more confident, relaxed, connected to something that I can do. And I'll bet I could make my way through something like that a little better.
And where do you think that's coming from? Is it just being a dad, or is it just where you are just over time being...
Being a dad has been deepening, and I keep working, so I keep getting a chance to kind of practice things. Just from having done it, I think I'm a late bloomer in some ways, and... I don't know. I think I keep finding things that are my own recently. I don't know how to describe it. I'll tell you, it's boring to talk about
I don't,
publicly,
no, it's not,
but I'd love to talk to you guys about it.
We're going to have a long dinner and talk all about it. But I do think that for me, too, I think the more you do something, being desensitized to 100 people watching you on a movie set and getting out of your own way and out of your own head in terms of here's my lines, this and that. I think there are people who are savants that maybe it was, Brando or people like that. There's other people who just get better and better and more confident and more movies and more TV shows. So I relate to that, to you just being better now. Yeah.
I feel like that's my story. Yeah. Sandy Meisner was my teacher, and he said, it takes 20 years of continual work to even be able to call yourself an actor. So he liked this, 40,000 hours. He didn't say that, but he liked that kind of, continuity of digging, he said, was the way to get somewhere. Just keep doing it, and it'll take you someplace. And that, I think I had that in mind, and I think that's maybe why it happened to me that way. I feel like it's happening to me that way.
Interesting.
I called myself an actor after two classes, but maybe it was a little rushed. I think, Jeff, what happened with me with comedy a little bit, which might be maybe what we're all talking about, is the early years are almost constantly an audition, and you just don't know if you're going to stay in the show business. You do good and only buys you 6 months, and then where have you been? And the next one better work, and this better work. And I think all of us get to a certain point where we go, okay, I think I'm just going to stay in show business. I think it's okay. And then you can start being looser, going, I do care, but I'm more cared about the right things instead of just, oh, I hope. And it's not so fear-based as it maybe used to be. Maybe that's it is with me.
I relate to that. I think that's true of me too. I was, I had terrors of one kind or another. I think I was excited and somehow confident from a belly full of inflammation or fire of one kind or another. I really wanted to do this and I'm excited about doing that. But I think from also that Meisner thing, I think I took the other side of the coin of it and thought, hey, if it takes 20 years, I'm not really an actor. I'm just kind of doing this to practice. And if I get chances to do this, I hope they don't realize I ain't I'm not an actor yet. And I think that gave me a kind of terror, and I think I overworked certain things, and but that relaxed over a time. And you're right, something like, hey, if it's not in me, that's the way it goes. And if it doesn't work, but this is what I like doing, and here it is, and somehow I'll find it. I don't have to get into some state of hyper, some incredible state. I can do it. If I get a good night's sleep and pay attention to it and put a little effort into it, I can solve a problem in my way, one way or another, that kind of thing.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/fly. netsuite.com/fly. netsuite.com/fly.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Oh, yes, you heard me right. You can talk to an actual human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
So, you know, on SNL, I think for all of us, and I'm sure as a host, it was really just controlling nerves. I mean, I think I was the most confident after I did 140 shows. The night I stepped off of SNL was probably my best show from my point of view. And it was just the 140 shows beat the shit out of my fear and anxiety. And so I think for, as a host, especially did your second time hosting, were you informed by the first time? Were you a little more confident the second time, or both times were just like such an outer space experience?
Yeah, maybe. At that point, what was that? That's like 30 years ago or 25 years ago.
Hard to say.
Yeah, you know, I was halfway there. I tried to get through it and I enjoyed myself, you know. I enjoyed myself. But like I say, I think I could do better now.
Yeah, I think that's true of everybody. You got a feel for it. It's such a like a horse race. It's over before you know it. And if you're a control freak, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, you know, everyone's sort of a perfectionist in this business. But if you think for a second you're going to be able to handle what's going on at all times and, oh, I got to make sure my costume's perfect. And let me look at that sketch again and fix that. Like, it just, it's too fast. There's too much. You can't. You almost have to put your hands up and go, just go. It's like the quick change. You do a sketch, you walk off and hold your hands up and they rip your clothes off, put the next thing on you and go, this is one of you playing astronaut, go. And you just 15 seconds. And it's so exhilarating that the next time you go, I think I got to figure it out now. And you really don't.
Yeah, but you have to just let go. And Robin used to say, you know, lay back and giggle. Yeah, it's something. But, you know, I think I kind of... I like that. I think I would like even more of that. Whenever it's like, hey, you can't possibly plan for this, just give me something to kind of figure out right now and I'll do it. Watch this. I think I like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that was, can I ask you, I don't know, I do this with guests because I like putting people like you in context of when they were a young person. So I just like to know, you could go real quick if you want, a toy that you remember from your childhood that stood out, a bicycle that you might have had, and a movie or TV show that lit you up. And I'm talking your formative years, you know, 5 to 12, 13 years of age. You have 5 seconds.
That's a very good question. I remember I got an easel that I liked and some Crayolas that I really liked. I see my kid, one of them is particularly just obsessed with making marks on things. He loves painting. I got a sheriff that would that would automatically shoot you and some guns with plastic bullets. And if you got him before he got his guns up, you would win this showdown. I like that. Oh, a helmet. My dad took me to every Steelers game in Pittsburgh, game. We had season tickets. So when they got me, when I opened up those shoulder pads and a helmet that I could use with Bobby D and people on the lawn, I loved that.
Yes.
So those toys, I love that. And then TV shows. Oh my gosh, there were so many TV
or
shows.
Movies.
I used to watch talk shows. I used to watch, you know, in the daytime during the summer, Mike Douglas and Donna Shore. I used to love everybody. I love comedians.
Me too.
I remember London Lee. We could talk about old comedians and
London Lee.
I was crazy about, you know, Shecky Green and Jack Carter and all those guys. I was crazy about that. Merv Griffin. But, you know, I liked then when Wild Wild West came
on. Oh, my God. Dun, 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 dun.
Artemus Gordon, that first, that opening with those four squares. Those drawings killed
that
me.
That killed me,
Ross Martin and Robert Conrad, that just killed me. The Monkees, I was into the Monkees those years. Mm-hmm. Gilligan's Island, very into that. Andy Griffith, very into it. Dick Van Dyke, loved it.
Keep going. Dick Van Dyke, Andy Griffith, laughing later.
I loved it. The Stooges, I saw all the Stooges episodes, all the old Popeye cartoons. That's just some of the stuff I love, but big, they made a big impression. Hey, and when Playboy After Dark, I remember I was just a burgeoning in my puberty.
That was cool.
And I found on that, I had to find it by kind of fiddling with that dial, and you'd get some static and then go, oh my God, I found it. And they'd get out of the elevator. Oh my gosh, loved that.
And did you have movies along that time, be it Planet of the Apes or Jason the Argonauts, or, you know, we're kind of from the same generation.
I heard you talking about Jason the Argonauts with Tom Hanks just today, because I was listening to that. That made a big impression on me. Ray Harryhausen, I loved that tremendously. Yeah. But because I've been thinking about movies, about inviting people to back into the theater to see movies, you know.
The way the Arclight used to do. They'd bring them back and you'd see them in the big screen.
But in the movie theaters instead of on TV. I've been going on for the last couple of weeks a kind of memory odyssey, and my sister has helped because we saw movies together. I wrote these three pages of all the movies that I can remember seeing when I was a kid in the movie
theater.
Can
you read them? We won't interrupt you. Can you just read a bunch of them?
Okay. First run movies. Some of these will be so oblique you won't know them, but some of them you will stop me if you have any interest in any of these. Ready? Absent-minded Professor, Fred McMurray, Flubber, you know.
Wow.
Yes.
The Blob, Steve McQueen.
Oh, Steve McQueen's a star. Yep.
Loved it. All the Jerry Lewis movies during the 60s, the Paramount years, Bellboy, Cinderfella, Disorderly Orderly, Visit to a Small Planet, Geisha Boy, Delicate Delinquent, Rockabye Baby, Nutty Professor. Love those.
Avant-garde genius. Avant-garde acid humor. Jerry Lewis movies in the 60s.
And then I got a chance to meet him. I was going to play his son in Max Rose, so I hung out in Vegas with him for a couple hours. Absolutely amazing. We'll talk about that.
That's great.
The Sterile Cuckoo with Liza Minnelli, Georgie Girl, Lynn Redgrave.
Even
these titles would never make the cut today.
Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yeah, first run, couldn't believe it. Loved it.
Oh, Dana loves it.
Love that. Colonel Bogey.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I saw it recently. That's a better movie than I even realized then. A real kind of war is madness. You know, anybody, any human being like Bill Holden who involves himself with a war like that changes and becomes inhuman.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And you're going to parse out when you show these movies to your kids, because I showed one of my sons, Bridger of the River Kwai, I think 8, 9, 10, something blew his mind.
That's a good question. I'd love to know what movies you show them when, because I'm going through that a lot. I'm very passionate about that. Man Who Shot Liberty Valance when it first came out.
Man, Lee Marvin was so brilliant in that.
So scary.
The coolest, weirdest bad guy.
Oh, my gosh. And Strother Martin and Lee Van Cleef in his gang. Woody Strode. Unbelievable.
Oh, we got a failure to communicate.
Hush, sweet. Yeah. Well, Cool Hand Luke, we saw with the family.
Cool Hand Luke.
Unbelievable.
What a stud Paul Newman was.
Toughest guy in Hollywood. The only guy who could go in the sweatbox. He drank 24 Budweisers a day. No one could last in the sweatbox as long as him. I know from his assistant on that movie.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a tough guy. He'd go in the bathtub with ice with a straw. And he would come out and he was just Paul Newman. I mean, it was just like, they just say he's the toughest guy. Because who's the toughest guy? They go, all the stuntmen would go, no, it was Newman. Newman was the toughest guy. He could take the most pain.
No kidding.
That's what I was told. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's right for that part then. We've got so much to talk about. HUD, the family saw together. And
HUD, yeah. Go ahead with your list. Okay. I love your list
so far.
Hush,
Sweet Charlotte. That's Joan Crawford and Betty Davis together.
Yes.
Gay Paris. It's an animated movie. Robert Goulet sang in it. Mm-hmm. The first, I was at the right age when Dr. No and From Russia with Love and Goldfinger and Thunderbolt came out. It changed my life. I was crazy about them.
Forget about it.
Our Man Flint and In Like Flint. Unbelievable.
James Coburn. Yeah.
James Coburn. Lee J. Cobb. Remember what the telephone sounded like in the office?
Yeah. I don't know.
No.
That's right. Yeah. That was
James Coburn. Were those comedies or not?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen those?
Those are
like, you know, the beginning of Austin Powers. You know, that's like taking it was the first time James Bond had been satirized like that, I do believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had the Dean Martin ones, too, that he was doing.
Matt Helm.
Yeah, Matt Helm.
I saw the first time Pink Panther was shown with that Henry Mancini opening and Clouseau.
Wow. Unbelievable. 1964.
Huge. Yeah. So memorable. 64, Psycho. My friend Bobby D and I went to see Psycho. Unbelievable.
Terrifying,
at that theater.
Brilliant.
Hard Day's Night. I had this crush on this girl. They were going, there's a field trip. We saw the Richard Lester Beatles movie. Unbelievable.
Oh, I can't believe you liked it. Go ahead.
30 seconds, Jeff. Keep going.
Love that.
That's
love
all?
Yeah.
No. I'll give you a minute.
No.
Okay. Diary of a Madman, Tomb of Ligeia. This is Vincent Price. I was a teenage Frankenstein. I was a teenage werewolf. Iga, the sadist. King Kong versus Godzilla. Zhigo with Jackie Gleason. First movie I cried at.
Gleason
had
those moves.
Sinbad, another. Vertigo. First time Vertigo was shown. Hitchcock. Amazing. The Birds.
Yeah.
Time Machine.
Hey. Oh.
Yeah, loved it. Yvette Mimieux. Weena. Hey, do you guys remember a movie After the Fox?
Yeah, it was a World War II movie or no?
No. I recommend that you go back and look at After the Fox. Okay. It's Peter Sellers. Oh. Vittorio De Sica, Bicycle Thieves, directed it. Neil Simon's first screenplay. Huh. Burt Bacharach writes the music. Peter Sellers sings the title song, After the Fox. It's great.
That sounds awesome.
I have a lot of affection for it. Telling the time. Sure. Gunfight at OK Corral.
Jeez Louise.
The Fly. Come Fly With Me.
The Fly.
Hey, Under the Yum Yum Tree. How about Under the Yum Yum Tree with Jack Lemmon?
Jack Lemmon. Yeah, he was awesome.
Night of the Living Dead. Mm. Bye Bye Birdie. Breakfast at Tiffany's. The Incredible Mr. Limpet with Don Knotts.
I saw it at the Laurel Theater when I was 9 or 10. Loved it. I love your list, by the way. I've never met a movie fan as big as you.
Bring that list to dinner.
I want to bring it. Gone with the Wind, Cool Hand Luke, HUD, Elvira Madigan, I Am Curious Yellow, Thomas Crown Affair, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Easy Rider, there Bonnie and Clyde, In the Heat of the Night, The Miracle Worker in Cold Blood, Wait Until Dark, Paper Moon, The Last Picture Show, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Lilies of the Field, Odd Couple, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, The Graduate, MASH, Splendor in the Grass, Rosemary's Baby, The Apartment, Midnight Cowboy, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, West Side Story,
Funny Girl,
Father Goose, Patch of Blue,
Father Goose.
A bunch of Cassavetes movies, Shadows, Faces, The List of Adrian Messenger, The Boston Strangler, Myra Breckinridge,
Raquel Welch, X-Rated, yes, nasty.
Yes, Rex Reed, Medium Cool, Morgan. They shoot horses, don't they?
Jane Fonda.
Get What's Young. New Pussycat? Can Hieronymus Merkin ever forget Mercy Hump and Find True Love?
Wow. Right. I'm going to ask you one question before we...
That's the best resume I've ever heard.
Do they make them like they used to? I have to ask you. Because that list brings me back.
They do sometimes.
Genius
Well, there are a lot
there.
Of bad movies on that. There's some good movies. There's some terrific movies now. And,
it's everywhere. But
what a world.
I love that you read us that list. That brought me back to just so many memories. I could talk for 20 minutes on at least 50 of those. Jeez.
I can, too, with you guys. Yeah. I really want to arrange a date.
We have a restaurant that will rename... We won't name it, but it's close by, and that's where we take all of us.
It's close to all of us.
And it's very quiet and dark, and you can have a good conversation. So we would love that, Jeff. Yeah.
Let's do it.
And good luck with the movie.
Let's do it. Thank you so, so much. Good luck with everything there.
And another great movie in 2022. Jurassic Park, World Dominion. The gang is back. Okay.
You're so
Goodbye,
nice.
Goodbye, Jeff. Take care,
Goodbye,
brother.
Buddy. Great
Thank
to
you,
see
Jeff.
You guys. Thanks.
Loved it. Thank you.
Are you catching the big game or making big mods, going on that first date or installing that first brake kit, binging that new show or watching install videos? When you're a real car lover, the choice is obvious. eBay Motors has you covered with over 122 million parts to fit your number one ride or die.
Brake kits, turbochargers, LED headlights, exhaust kits, bumpers, roof racks, and engines. Whether you're into the speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has all the parts you need for the ride you love. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Reality TV has hit a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series High Hopes is finally here for your viewing pleasure.
The Hulu original reality series follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious half-baked employees at one of the fastest-growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry.
More than just co-workers, the owners and bud tenders in High Hopes are one dope family.
You'll fall in love with these quirky characters as they pursue career aspirations, love, and fame, all under a slightly hazy cloud.
All episodes of the new reality series High Hopes are now streaming only on Hulu.
Hey, what's up, flies? What's up, fleas? What's up, people that listen? We want to hear from you and your dumb questions.
Questions, ask us anything. Anything you want.
You can email us at flyonthewall@cadence13.com. These are questions that people ask us and pretend they care if we answer. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
This is from Steffi Laffy Taffy. Her name's Laffy. Her last name.
Steffi Laffy Taffy. I like that.
I would call her that all day. Okay. Why don't we hear more about workplace romance at SNL? That's they're always like a 12-parter. Is this an environment that just doesn't produce that tension? Is there way more than we don't know? What? Is this an environment that just doesn't produce that tension? There is workplace
romance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, aside from the obvious ones, like, Emma Stone is married to a writer from there?
Yes. ScarJo is married to Colin Jost.
Yeah, and Pete and Kim. So that, but when I was there, it was, first of all, you weren't supposed to talk to the host like that. You weren't supposed to even be in the same room with the host. You don't get to walk in their dressing room.
The bad boys came in. You guys, the girls loved you. Phil and I and John Lovitz and Mike Myers, believe me, there was not a lot of action on that. I was married. Phil was married. John and Lovitz and Mike Myers were married for a brief period of time.
I think we were all single. So let me see. Oh, yeah. I remember I did have a crush on Marissa Tomei when she was there. After my cousin Vinny, she came in to host and she was so adorable. Looked through me like a bar of used Neutrogena.
I got hit on whenever I did The Church Lady. That's when people would hit on
me. That's when the chicks had come out of the woodwork. I remember, but like our hosts are like Glenn Close, and we were 25, and you know, I saw Farley always hitting on Glenn Close. He wasn't hitting on her, but his flirting, he wasn't drinking at the time, and he used to chug beers in front of girls to look cool. And so he had like a water or a Diet Coke, and we were all by 8H, and he goes, "Hey, Glenn Close," and then she's just, and then he goes like, and he drinks the whole thing
as a seduction.
Yeah. And then she goes and then she goes, I think I got a rehearsal,
and
then
I used her whole name.
Are you chugging that to look cool? He goes, yeah. He thought it was cool to
and
chug.
And did anything happen at the after party? I mean, I don't know if we're talking out of turn here.
No, but nothing. I just think he was just more trying to be
that's
cool.
That's just Chris being Chris.
But yeah, so there's your answer. There are workplace romances at SNL, and that's a good question, even though you obviously don't know about the three big ones that are out there. So next time, really think before
but
the
mostly
question.
We're SNL cast members are trying to survive moment to moment.
You're not thinking
and not really
getting
thinking,
action.
Yeah, I'm gonna, you know.
You're just trying not to get fired at all times.
Yeah. Fly on the Wall has been a presentation of Cadence 13.
Please listen, then rate, review, and follow all episodes.
Executive produced by Dana Carvey and David Spade, Chris Corcoran of Cadence 13, and Charlie Finan of Brillstein Entertainment. Production and engineering led by Greg Holtzman, Richard Cook, Sabrina Regan, and Chris Basil of Cadence 13.